You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
This podcast is brought to you by IG, a global leader in online trading and authorized financial services provider. The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow with Nick Kunze from Sanlam Private Wealth. Before we get into the other stuff that we normally talk about, you sent me a Bitcoin graph earlier today.
Oh, is that one?
And I looked at this thing and I said, I mean, it's gone from 5,000 to 17,000, essentially, with a few broad brushstrokes here and there.
And mention the fact that this is real money. This is dollars as well.
Yes.
$17,000 a Bitcoin.
Bitcoin, yes. And I still, for the life of me, I mean, I'm notoriously a thick when it comes to new innovations. I still don't quite understand how it works and what I do with it. But if someone gave me a Bitcoin, I'd have $17,000 in my back pocket.
Absolutely. Yeah, no. Look, it brings back memories of last time I had a run-up, which was almost exactly this time a couple of years ago. It was in sort of November, December, so very much the same time.
Yes.
Though this time there doesn't seem to be the sort of fanfare. I mean, until I came across the sort of numbers this morning and thought it out, I was like, I didn't even know it was sitting at this sort of price.
Staggering. Like,
no, it went and it was listed. We had futures on bitcoins and everyone was talking about it around the sort of barbecue at Christmas time. And quietly, it's come back. It's back at $17,000. Look, I think, Lindsay, it's more those, maybe it's more attracted to the millennials, whoever it is. But for some reason, it's quietly creeping up in the background. I sent the note out to a couple of clients, yourself included.
Yes.
I got a few comments back, and the one person, which I think is a little bit on the mark, he's pretty good as he runs a macro fund, and his sort of comment was, it's basically, it's the millennials that buy this stuff. You know, we oldies are all looking at gold. Quietly people who don't want to hold dollars and they don't want to hold other currencies, etc. Bitcoin might be an alternative. I don't know. I mean, as I say, I don't.
Maybe that should be my
Tuesday. I don't understand it.
No, nor do I. Maybe it should be my Tuesday trade. In other words, going short of it. But on the other hand, if you take the Nick Kunze approach to entering a trade, you have to have six. Criteria.
Seven.
Okay. And one of those is the trend. And the trend is definitely
correct.
Up.
The trade is in the direction of the trend.
Precisely.
Yeah, so you don't want to pick it.
I don't want to touch it then, in other words. I don't want to have a look at it.
In fact, if you follow the rules, you should probably buy the breakout. It's probably breaking out. But
It broke out at 12,000.
Really
it's a beautiful graph. It's an up-flagging wedge. And
as soon as
it broke 12,000, it went through the roof. It's incredible.
Well, you wouldn't necessarily short it, but if you want to follow a trend, then ultimately this is something you probably want to buy on weakness. So you look at a 50% retracement on the recent trend from 10 to 16.
Yeah.
So around about the 13,500 level, you probably want to buy. So there we go.
Okay. Well, that'll be one of my Tuesday trades. The other ones, I don't know. I'm still short of the S&P via the conservative route of two options. I'm long of gold at 1905. All three of those trades are not doing well for me at the moment. Is there anything I should be looking at? I fancy an individual stock, and I know this sounds awful, but I'm sort of thinking that now that all the euphoria over Tesla going into the S&P 500, I should be shorting Tesla just with a very tight stop. Again, the trend is up, but I just can't help but think that now that all the index trackers have got into Tesla because it's gone into the index, then surely it must come back 10%. Surely, Nick, tell me.
Okay, so if history is a judge,
yes,
on what this particular trade which you're referring to,
right,
has got a name, it's called an add delete. So what happens is people that will work out using their clever little financial models and their mathematical models, they'll work out with the various weightings what things are going into indexes and what things are going out. So you typically want to buy the one that's going in because, as you said rightly so, the index trackers have to buy it. And you short the one that are going out because they have to sell them to go out. So that's effectively the trade. It was actually made popular in Japan in the late 80s. It was a very popular trade, trying to figure out what was going in and what was going out, because they used to reweight quarterly where other indices didn't. Anyway, it's actually not a bad thing to do. The problem with Tesla you've got, just a word of caution, is because of the size of the company, it's like 356 or 360, give or take, whatever it is, moves around so much, billion dollar market cap. it's going to move the index weighting so substantially that they are thinking of not putting it in one big lump sum.
What does that mean?
So they're not going to add it to the index in one go because it'll screw up the whole weighting and it's just going to be too monstrous. So it's almost, think of it like dropping a giant boulder into a swimming pool. It's going to splash all the water out. You know, they've got to literally add this thing in tranches. So they're going to put it in different levels and how you weight it up. So it starts to get a little bit technical. But what I would say is it's actually not a bad trade because typically, historically, that's exactly what does happen. As the index trackers and everyone else have sort of got their weighting in now before it goes in there, so they're going out. So I actually would think that's not a bad trade.
Okay.
Although you are up against the Tesla fanatics, you know that, don't you? The cult of Elon Musk.
Yeah, it's like people in other words, almost like the people that queue outside the Apple store 2 days before the new iPhone is coming out.
Sleeping in their sort of sleeping thing. Bags and stuff, yeah.
Well, that's another really, really good reason to short it. okay, I'm putting that down I'm putting in a 5% stop loss. I'm putting in a 5% stop loss. Is that okay?
That's 100%. $448 currently. It's up 10% on the day.
Okay, I'm selling it at 448. Well, as soon as I've done this, I'm going to phone up IG, or rather go into my IG South Africa account, and I'm going to do it, and I'm shorting it, and I'm putting in a 5%. So 5% is how much? What's 5% of 448? Let's call it 449 with costs and stuff, and by the time I get through to them. What is 5% of 450? Call it that.
$22.40.
Okay, in that case, that's my stop loss. It's around about 470 is my stop. I'm shorting it. Write that down, please, Nick. Thank you very much. Well, let's talk about a set of results which I haven't managed to talk about today because Hendrik du Toit is far too busy to speak to me. 91 says here, highlight, solid performance despite challenging operating conditions. Assets under management increased by 15% to 119 billion quid. That's a lot of money, isn't it? It really is a lot of money. Yeah. Although average AUM decreased by 3%. So I don't understand that. Assets under management, AUM, decreased by 3%, but assets under management increase 15%. Can you explain that to me? Average AUM versus assets under management. What does that mean? Can you tell me? You can't, obviously.
No, I can't. Completely stumped. Yeah. No, I haven't heard that.
Have a look at this.
I mean, I've never differentiated if it's...
It says here, assets under management increased 15% to 119 billion, though average assets under management decreased by 3%. Anyway, the point is they've got 119 billion. While you're trying to figure that out, there were net outflows of 0.3 billion. A significant improvement in investment performance during the period. Obviously, the market's gone up. Net revenue decreased 1%. Again, I don't understand that. Anyway, basic earnings per share increased 1%. Interim dividend of 5.9p per share, which is good. And staff Very shareholding good. Increased to 22.5%. That's one of the great things about 91, is that staff owns nearly a quarter of the company. And, if you're working for a company, you want to have some, as they say, skin in the game. You want to have some kind of incentive for coming in the morning, apart from your monthly envelope. You still you got that 22.5%, all the staff there. It's a pretty good number and very forward thinking, I think.
It is, and I'm only laughing to myself because I don't know if you remember when they spun off from Investec.
I remember it well.
The first week or so after they did it, they decided to pay a special dividend. And the comments were like, oh, that's really decent to them, rewarding shareholders. And so that 20% of the shareholders and staff members are paying yourself a special divvy. But anyway, needless to say, I actually quite like shares that have this sort of shareholding structure.
Yes.
Where you look at hedge funds and certain well-established asset managers, and quite frankly, it's not only reserved to just asset management businesses. Businesses, wouldn't you rather have exposure to a company or investment in a company where you knew the directors or the owners or the people there were financially attached to whatever their performance of the business did? So I don't think it's a bad thing. They deserve it.
Only that person as well, not the person, the upper hierarchy. And there's some chaps there with some incredibly large shareholdings of that 22.5%. But also, when you go there, they'll say, would you like a cup of tea, Mr. Williams? Would you like a sandwich or something? And you go to the canteen and the lady or the gentleman that's serving you there also has a stake in the company, which I like. I think it's quite good. Anyway, why wouldn't you just buy Satrix or S&P 500 ETF tracker or something rather than this? Give me the case for 91, please.
Because of its nature of its business is very exposed and quite specifically emerging markets. So, I mean, if you want the really blunt approach to EM as an equity, I'm not talking about currency or anything like that. If you want exposure to emerging market equities, there's something called the Vanguard Emerging Market ETF, which is, I think the code is VMW or something like that.
It's a rather large company, Vanguard, by the way.
Yeah, but they've got an ETF which is exposed to emerging markets, and it's, you can look at the top 10 holdings if you want to get a better look of it. But whereas 91 I think are better, is I think they're far more sort of detailed in what they do, and far more you're getting quite. They do a lot of homework. They've had years and years of experience in this space, and as I said before in this morning's show, you know, we do have exposure to them, we do own them, we do like them. And I think with this, my personal view is a weakening dollar going forward for the next couple of years, emerging markets are going to do well. So I think something like a 91 is if you've got a bit of spare cash to either buy their share or let them manage your money, I don't think you can go too far wrong, quite honestly.
Okay.
There's me preaching about my... I think they've got a great team there.
Yeah, I must admit, I think so too. I can't really fault the people that regular commentators on this podcasting side. What else came out today? We've got consolidated financial statements for the year ended 30th of June, notice of AGM, and that is the company called Supergroup. Is that right?
Yeah.
Revenue down by 8.7%, operating profit decreased by 41%, earnings per share decreased by 114.4%. Horrible numbers. Horrible.
Look, this is SA Inc., isn't it? I mean, it really is. I mean, logistics, trucking. They really are a reflection of what's happening in South Africa.
Yes. Or what has been happening, obviously, looking back to the end of September. So I think probably the next set of results will be a little bit more glamorous and enticing than the ones that I've just read out.
Look, they're mainly, it's a bit of a complicated business. I mean, they deal mainly in supply, what they call supply chain management. Most of their geographic footprint is in South Africa, but they are in far afield in New Zealand, I think, and I think they're even in the UK to a certain extent.
Yes.
They don't follow the share too closely. But it really is. I mean, this is a share that needs the world to keep turning around in what they do. And I think they've been in the wrong place at the wrong time through no fault of their own. So it might be a recovery play, quite honestly. I mean, this might be one of those ones where they just said, look, this is as bad as it gets. And looking forward, last time I checked, they weren't expensive either. So I'd maybe stick this in one of, I think David's got his recovery COVID portfolio. This is probably one of those to stick in there.
He should recover. Did you see these latest? By the way, we're supposed to be speaking to David Shapiro this time on a Tuesday. But he's running around. Did you see the picture of the hyena that he sent out today?
No, I actually commented. I said, not a bear in sight. But,
it looks like a selfie jogging to me. But anyway.
Yeah, exactly. He's jogging around the Kruger of all places. Bizarre.
Anyway, Shapiro, good luck. We'll speak to you this time next week. What else happened today? Not much. I think there was results out from Wilson Bailey. Share price was up nicely, but obviously a very small cap these days.
Yeah, I didn't see much of that.
No.
I mean, I was more concentrated on what's happening in the US. I mean, we were expecting a new all-time high as we hit yesterday. We were going to get day two on a Tuesday, but it was not to be. We had some retail sales numbers, actually, Lindsay, out of the US.
They were terrible compared to, I noticed that.
And the sort of,
why is that?
I think there's a real concern now that there is, I mean, the last couple of weeks we've seen a huge escalation of COVID. I mean, it's a little bit lost with all the sort of election noise of the last few weeks.
Mm.
But what's happening in the real world on the ground floor over there is not pretty. And there certainly is a feeling that people are staying at home, and they are concerned about COVID in the United States. And I think these retail sales numbers are showing it. You know, they're going to need some form of a stimulus or some sort of a plan to go into next year to keep this momentum going. But I think there's a few question marks. Like maybe we've run a little ahead of ourselves. I mean, I know you've been mentioning it a few times as well.
Yeah.
It's just maybe the US is a little bit too much froth there given. And that's retail sales number. You know, the 60-70% of the US GDP is the consumer. And this number today is a reflection that the consumer's a little bit under pressure.
Precisely, still under pressure, had a bounce back, and is now, it's like my analogy, when you get out of prison, which I've never been to yet anyway, when you get out of prison, there's a few things that you always do. And one of the first things that you do is you go out and spend stuff, you go and have a beer, and you go and see your partner, and that those sort of things are the things that you do. So when you're out of lockdown, and when you're feeling a bit confident, you go out and spend some money at Walmart, or wherever it is. And now that whole feeling is gone suddenly. Anyway, my theory. Dollar rand is 15.42, British pound against the rand 20.42, and the euro rand is 18.28, with the euro dollar slightly weaker dollar again, 118.60. It's just pushing towards that 120 level. I can't help thinking that by the end of the year, we might be closer to 120 than 118. The gold price is 18.86, despite the slightly weaker dollar, down $4 or so. Platinum is up. Is this correct? Up $36 to 9.33. Where's palladium, please, Nick?
Palladium is down marginally $5, 2,333, the 333s.
Crude oil, West Texas, is down nearly 0.5% to $41.16 per barrel, and Brent crude oil per barrel is $43.59. Give us the updated S&P, NASDAQ, and Dow Jones, please. The S&P, which will, of course, soon have Tesla as a constituent. Down about two-thirds, I think.
Yeah, thereabouts. Actually down 29 points at the moment, 0.8%, so slightly worse.
Yes.
On the just off the lows of the session, 3594, that number, sort of under 3600 now, which had sort of broke back down during the session. So that is the S&P. On the Dow Jones, that value rotation into value not working today, down a full percent, actually 1.04%, 311 points lower, 29,633. So didn't quite get the 30,000 print on the Dow Jones, unfortunately, and it's now drifting back lower. And then finally the NASDAQ also, we see that rotation again not working, now down, well, 3% down. So one of the better performing, all the money coming back into tech shares, 11,888 on the NASDAQ.
Top five movers on the upside of my screen, TFG, that's the Fashini Group, up 7.75%. We'll come to that in a moment. Bidvest up 5.5%, Techstainer at 4.7, Oceana at 4.4, and Investec Australia Property Fund up nearly 4%. Why is TFG up nearly 8%, please?
Just looking now, seeing there's any headlines out. No, I did see... Oh, that's why it is. There we go. Silly me.
Go on.
Just come across now. Upgraded by Morgan Stanley to overweight. But obviously, that came through at 5:15 now.
Yes.
To all the poor plumps like us who didn't get access to Morgan Stanley's research note this morning. So, yeah.
Damn. I always feel left out when those sort of things happen, yes.
Yeah, thanks for the show, Morgan Stanley. Yeah, anyway,
yeah, exactly.
Broker upgrade.
Precisely. On the downside, Hammerson, down 7.75%, not downgraded by JP Morgan or Morgan Stanley or whoever it is. Sibanye down nearly 5%. Italtal down 4.6%. South 32, a 4% loser. And Anglo-American Platinum, nearly 4% weaker as well. I find it odd that someone can suddenly put something out and the share price rally 7.75%. There's something a bit weird about that. I mean, in the old days, that wouldn't have happened. But anyway, it's happened. 7.75% up. It's worth more by that amount today than it was yesterday. Strange, isn't it?
So this came out to this, I presume, to their clients this morning, because it just got, you obviously have to delay it, but you give it to your paying clients first for obvious reasons.
Of course.
Look, also, Lindsay, in a very thin market like we are now, and in an emerging market like South Africa, I mean, Morgan Stanley, the size of it with its clients, I mean, you know, the sell side on their side, if they have to allocate a certain amount of funds into Fashini Group in South Africa, you can move the thing 7% quite easily.
Yes, you can. Give us the closing indices, if you would.
Okay, so closing indices on this Tuesday, back in the red today, giving back a bit from yesterday, 0.37% down, 213 points. That's your all share, 57,053. So still holding on to the 57,000 level.
Right.
Top 40 down 0.5%, fared worse, 263 down. Individual indices on the upside, first of all, with this, I guess you could say, a bit of a stronger rand this morning. Financials 0.73% firm. Industrials had a good day, up 1%. Real estate also bounced bouncing back 1.4%. And then on the downside, the lag is basic materials down half, healthcare down 5.4%. And once again, technology, the likes of NASPERS, that rotation carrying on. Technology shares down 1.42%. Overall value traded almost exactly the same as yesterday, 21.246 billion value traded.
21.426 billion value traded. Pretty good, though. 20 plus for the first 2 days of the week. Very nice indeed. S&P futures just below 3,600 at the moment. Just give me the update on my new trade, which I'm slightly nervous about, which I'm about to initiate, the Tesla trade.
Your Teslas.
It okay, has me
live
Tesla.
Price. Here we go. Up 10.2%.
Right.
It's $41 higher. So let's call it 449.89. And if you want to put a stop loss on, let's put some rules in place.
Let's put it. I think it should be $20, $25, don't you think? $4.75. Because I'm going into it now. I'm going to IG now. I'm going to put it in there now.
Okay. So let me tell you, do you know, so that if we look at one of our rules for trading, which is working out what the average true range is. Average true range of Tesla today is $18. So technically, you want to put a stop a little bit wider. So make it
$25. Yeah.
Almost spot on, yeah.
Exactly. So I'm putting my stop. I'm going to sell it as soon as we've stopped talking, as soon as you've stopped detaining me. I'm going to go in at, let's call it 449, 450. I'm putting a stop at 474, 475, something like that. And I'll probably be out of it tomorrow. Okay, Nick, thanks so much for your time this evening. That's Nick Kunze from Sandham Private Wealth, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow. That podcast was brought to you by IG, a global leader in online trading and authorized financial services provider. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.